If you're a pro, you know that this is not efficient because you know there's a better way. There's also a better way to save. When pro customers buy building supplies in bulk at Lowe's, they save up to 20% every day. Buy in bulk and save up to 20% on concrete, gypsum, and gypsum accessories. At Lowe's, buy more, save more. Visit the Pro Desk or lowesforpros.com for details. Discount applies to contractor pack items. Minimum purchase required, U.S. only.
This edition of Locked On Eagles is brought to you by MyBookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. You are flying high with Locked On Eagles, presented by LockedOnEagles.com. We are your daily source for the best Philadelphia Eagles news and analysis. I am your host, Michael Kist. You can follow my work at Inside the Pylon, Breaking Football, and Grandstand Sports Network. Follow me on Twitter at Michael J. Kist. That's K-I-S-T. As always, I am joined by the best co-host in the game, Mr. 7-Year Streak, without a bad day. He is Benjamin Solak of Bleeding Green Nation and NDT Scouting. Follow him on Twitter at Benjamin Solak. That's S-O-L-A-K. Ben, what's up with the streak, man? Still going good? How you doing, brother?
Please, my friend, you know this. I'm chilling here watching the Sixers and the Wizards play. Sixers look pretty good. I don't know, man. Solid day, easy week, because Eagles only playing on Monday. I'm living life. How you been?
I've been well. I've been really well. I am still taking in the news that Carson Wentz is the favorite for the MVP race now. I put this on Twitter today, and I'm probably going to write a piece about it because I especially want to focus on Zach Ertz because he's just been balling out, especially in the red zone for us. We're getting him the right matchups. Here are the stats for Carson Wentz inside the red zone. Check this out. 16 for 26, which is a 61.5% completion percentage, 124 yards, 9 touchdowns, 0 interceptions for a 112.8 QB rating. Those are bonkers, like, stats, right?
Oh, those are, they're insanely efficient, especially for a quarterback who isn't the greatest ball protector, which I harp on all the time, right. But especially in the red zone, that the INT stats what impresses me the most.
PFF will go into the interceptable passes or turnover-worthy passes and whatnot. Wentz has really kind of cut back on that recently, and I think that's kind of what's putting him in that discussion because he's been so responsible with the ball. Are you buying the MVP hype right now for Carson Wentz?
Yeah. No, there's no reason not to. And I'll put it to you this way. I think right now it's not going to be Kareem Hunt because Kareem Hunt's a rookie and he'll get offensive rookie of the year and they're not going to give him MVP. It's not going to happen.
Right.
It's not, to me, that's unquestionable.
Yeah.
You imagine Rodgers isn't in the conversation anymore, obviously, because he's injured. So then that kind of leaves you with
Alex Smith,
Tom Brady, and Carson Wentz. Those would be my three names that I think you could consider right now. And there's absolutely guys on the periphery that could still be a thing. Like, I think Drew Brees, the Saints are playing really well. And if the Saints can go on a run in the NFC South, then Drew Brees is going to be a guy that we have to talk about. I think that, you know, and we haven't even discussed the Ezekiel Elliott suspension yet, but I think that if the Cowboys can put together a playoff run with Dak kind of leading them, then I think Dak puts himself in that conversation. But right now, three guys, Smith, Brady, and Wentz. I don't think people want it to be Brady because right. Brady's won it I don't know how many times in his career, and that pick's like too easy. You know what I mean? That's just kind of like that. Nobody wants to give Brady the MVP again. That's not exciting.
I mean, the argument there is that he's got the advantage of having a terrible, terrible defense that he has to make up for. So he's got a little backing behind it.
I hear that, but I don't think MVP voting, and this is just my opinion, like I don't have numbers or anything. I don't think MVP voting gets as affected by that sort of a thing. You know what I mean? Like We might do that just heuristically when we look at it in the sense and say, oh, well, Brady's doing, you know, all this and he has no defense. But I think it becomes more of a numbers game when you're looking at MVP. And like, you know, going back to last year, you had Matt Ryan takes home the MVP. He goes for just south of 5,000 yards, just south of 70% completion percentage, 38 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. That's an insane season. That's crazy. That's a 118 quarterback rating. Carson's not going to necessarily produce at that level. I think as of right now, his completion percentage is 61%, so it's not going to be nearly as high. He's on pace for a little bit less yardage, around 4,500 is closer to what you'll be seeing from Carson. And his quarterback rating is right now at about 100. So it's 18 points lower. So I don't think that Carson's going to put up those numbers that Matt Ryan put up last year. So now it becomes a question of just what's the competition look like? Because I think this could easily become, if the Patriots continue to have a little bit of an underwhelming year compared to what we've seen of them in the past, then this becomes a two-horse race between Carson and Alex Smith.
Right. Aaron Rodgers goes down. That thins the herd. The Falcons are kind of playing conservative with their offense, so Matt Ryan is not going to put up those guiding numbers. Look, you mentioned Ezekiel Elliott from the Cowboys. I want to talk about that real quick. Mm-hmm. All the legal stuff aside, Zeke really hasn't played up to par, right? He doesn't rank in the top 10 for backs in Pro Football Focus. His elusiveness rating or breakaway percentage, he's averaging 3.7 yards per carry. Mm-hmm. Granted, without the Hall of Fame worthy O-line play that he had last year. What are the details on this? Why can't the NFL get this done? How many temporary stays of blah, 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 blah legal jargon can Zeke actually put the pressure on the NFL and not be able and have it to where they can't uphold their own suspension?
Right. That's the curious thing, because and I am by no way even remotely schooled in anything legal. So I'm just, you know, parroting stuff that I've read and I've heard on the situation. But from what I understand, and this I'm solid on, the CBA allows Roger Goodell to just kind of shoot from the holster. And in the sense that when he suspended Ezekiel Elliott, there wasn't much in the way of, you know, the courts proving this and due process proving that and so on and so forth. It's just Goodell saying, I have the power to suspend you because it seems like you did bad things, and so I'm going to do that. And that's obviously a collective bargaining agreement. The NFLPA agreed that that would be a thing, probably not foreseeing that we would see, you know, cases like Ray Rice and Tom Brady and now Ezekiel Elliott. So that you have that fact. That's when Ezekiel Elliott got suspended. Now you're at the point where Zeke brings this to the courts, and one of the reasons why he can keep on getting these TROs, these temporary restraining orders, is because when he brings this to the court, well, the court can say, you know, you can't make the suspension here because we don't have enough information about what you, the NFL, saw and what you, Roger Goodell, saw and the information by which you're suspending him. We don't have enough access to that. There isn't, we don't have that information. And so we're going to grant this TRO because in our eyes, you know, you don't have anything to suspend him by, which is a byproduct of the fact that Roger Goodell just said, all right, I don't like what I'm seeing. I'm suspending you. Boom. That's why you can keep on pulling off these TROs. Now, the fact of the matter is, when this comes back, now it's the NFL's turn to kind of sue here and try to remove this restraining order. The NFL gets to do it in a court of their choosing, and they get to do it on grounds of their choosing, and they should feel significantly confident about when they challenge this TRO, it coming back, and the court saying, no, Roger Goodell has the right to do this. This temporary restraining order lasts for 14 days. Ezekiel Elliott gets 2 weeks out of this, and then regardless of what legislation occurs between now and then, the suspension comes back into play. And so that's all that this did, was delay as of right now, is like quote unquote the inevitable. There's still legal paths that Ezekiel Elliott can take. There are always legal paths. This is now just becoming a convoluted mess of how long are these sides just going to trade punches?
You know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice, and usually it's what team to bet on this week, whether it's Steelers against Patriots or Bears against the Lions. Well, let me tell you this, where you're betting at is just as important as who you're betting on. And that's why I always tell people to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been in this business for years, and their rep is rock solid. They do 100% cash bonuses, so off the bat, you're making money for doing nothing. And they have the fastest payout. Seriously, it's just 2 business days. Lay down some cash and win big today. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game, live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and an all-new mobile site that makes wagering on the go an absolute breeze. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to 100% bonus. Use promo code LOEagles, that's LOEagles, to activate your offer. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Right? It feels like, and I'm no lawyer, if you want to talk bird law, I'll go with you all day. But mm-hmm. with Zeke, it feels like it's going to be like this traveling carnival of lawyers going with him city to city, trying to get him another, you know, stay of execution or whatever, TRO, yeah, or whatever you want to call it. I stopped caring a long time ago about this. He's going to serve his 6 games eventually. Get it out of my news and let's move on from it, because, I mean, he's, like I said, he's not producing anyway. It looks like he wasn't ready to play the first six games because he was out of shape when he started and he lost his burst. If he wants to continue playing it that way, go for it.
At the end of the day, you wonder how this dogfight in a legal arena, how this is going to kind of affect, I don't want to say Ezekiel Elliott's legacy because he's a second year player, but kind of how the extent to which he may be held in infamy when we look back on this. And I remember I did the podcast at the, when he was first suspended, right when this whole hullabaloo began. I did the pod, it was a day that you were off, and so it was just me, and I was talking about the fact that whether or not, you know, it's good that Goodell has this sort of a power, it should be viewed as a good sign that the NFL is starting to take domestic violence and these sort of issues so seriously to reach these straits, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, now you're arriving at a place where it seems like players and the NFLPA are willing to go to such straits to, I don't want to say minimize these issues because it's not what they're doing, but when you make this such a convoluted, confusing, you know, suing here in this court with this restraining order thing, it seems to be diminishing the issues that it's pretty well known that Ezekiel Elliott did some scummy things, right? And obviously, you want there to be a response to that from the NFL. There's a very legitimate argument that says it was too severe of a response. It was too austere and okay. But once you make that argument, now you start kind of minimizing the issues of domestic violence and
right. partner Which has always
abuse.
Gone well for the league, yeah.
Right, exactly. In a similar tone, obviously it's not parallel, but in a similar tone to these anthem protests, that's the danger you run when these things get so many different people involved and there's so many new stories and headlines, is that the issue falls away. It becomes murkier. It becomes cloudier. And so, you know, remembering that this is an issue of a young woman in Ohio who accused a man of abusing her, like that's an important thing to recall.
You know what I saw from a certain Cowboys fan on Twitter that I'm not gonna call him out on here, but he was implicating that because Aaron Rodgers went down, J.J. Watt's down, like injuries are happening, mm-hmm. that the NFL can't afford the ratings hit to the Cowboys by suspending Ezekiel Elliott. Bonkers.
Obviously, having a conversation about injuries and ratings already is kind of a little crass, in my opinion. That's not the first thing I want to think of. You know, thinking about Gordon Hayward, you know, that injury that he had last night, the Celtics player, within 2 minutes, you know, people are making jokes and talking about stuff. It's just terrible. Yeah. Talking about ratings and injuries, I don't think that you're going to see a significant ratings drop as a result of Aaron Rodgers getting injured. I mean, sure, am I less likely to watch a Green Bay game? Yes. But am I less likely to watch football? No, there are more games that go on, you know, at one period of time, so I think we'll be fine.
Enough about Zeke. We are going to get to, here in a second, we're going to get to game time decisions after the break. But first, we would be remiss if we did not. We talked about this yesterday with Jonathan Allen having the Liz Frank injury and saying that he would be out a month. We're recording this on Wednesday night. It was announced today that rookie Jonathan Allen will be out for the season, which is a considerable blow. Allen's overall talent, what he brought to the pass rush, where he and second-year man Matt Ioannidis, who Zach Hicks from Locked On Redskins brought up yesterday, who's playing really well. Ioannidis ranks second in interior pass rush productivity, according to Pro Football Focus. Jonathan Allen ranks fifth. So that's a very young, good duo. Now, and if I remember my board correctly, I had Allen as my 17th overall prospect, and I was probably lower on him than a lot of people. Ben, how does this impact the Redskins moving forward, considering Allen has more pressures than their backups, Terrell McClain, Stacy McGee, and Ziggy Hood have combined?
It's a big issue. I think the primary issue when you lose an interior player, even one as pass rush productive as Allen, is you lose that run game integrity right away. And it's in part because Allen is a fantastic player against the run, but it's also in part you lose continuity on the defensive line. And I love talking about continuity on both sides of the trenches. It's incredibly important when you're working your run fits. Now you've got a guy who you don't necessarily communicate as well. You can't, as a linebacker, anticipate what he's going to do as well because you haven't been playing behind him. You haven't been reading the same keys as he's been reading for so many games. So I think that you have the opportunity there for LeGarrette Blount to get in some more work. And then absolutely, especially when you have a quarterback that's mobile like Carson Wentz, you can get all the edge pressure you want. If you can't generate a consistent interior pressure, he's escaping up the middle every time he wants to, you know, and the difference between a Jonathan Allen lined up against Brandon Brooks versus, you know, the backups that you listed, if Brooks can relocate those guys regularly out of the middle, then Carson's taking the middle alley, right? And so you lose a lot of defensive discipline when you lose interior defensive linemen.
All right, so before we get to game time decisions, one more thing. Chris Long.
The man.
the man is donating 10 of his game checks, and it's going towards underprivileged children to get higher education. Is that right, Ben?
Yeah, the remaining 10 game checks, because if you don't remember, his first six game checks were already donated to charity, and then we reached week 7, and Chris Long was like, you know what, I should probably give away the rest of my money for the season. And there's 4 different programs to which he's donating the money in 3 cities, New England, St. Louis, and Philadelphia, the 3 areas in which he's played across his 10-year career. Incredible stuff, right? Going to education, it's a topic about he and his wife are both very passionate. They've been involved with it for years. You can find out more information, you know, Philadelphia Eagles Twitter, PhiladelphiaEagles.com. But I mean, this is, I gotta say, it's really cool to be the fan of the team that just, I mean, I don't know perfectly what other teams are doing, but in my opinion, is the most socially active team in the NFL. Carson and Jake Elliott donating the 61-yard field goal game check to a charity. You know, you've got Malcolm Jenkins going to owners' meetings to talk about racial injustice. You've got Chris Long, who, you know, he comes here to Philadelphia, gets a 1-year deal. Right. And he's giving all the money except for his guaranteed salary, which is $500,000, which he can't give away. Yeah. I mean, he could, but not in the form of a game check is what I'm saying.
Right, yeah.
And he's just giving it away to charity. Give the guy a 5-year deal right now and just let him give all the money where he wants. I don't care. It's just awesome.
Yeah, I agree. He's been amazing. And, you know, Malcolm Jenkins, not just talking about social injustice, but also bringing to the table but supporting an actual bill, legislation called the Clean Slate Act that he talked about with Roger Goodell, with Jeffrey Lurie, with Rodney McLeod. 16 games, game checks going towards education. It's a fantastic move.
Shout out Chris Long, man. Chris Long.
Definitely fantastic. Okay, time for game time decisions.
Theme music.
Ben, man, you want first crack?
I got you. Your favorite. Wait, should we explain it to people? We should probably explain it to people. Game time decisions is a fun little thing Mike and I like to do, usually on Tuesdays, but it's a different schedule this week with playing on Thursday and Monday, where we have questions for one another. The recipient of the questions does not know them pre-show, and so they got to make a game time decision and come up with a good answer. Some are football, some are not. So first question for you, Mike. Your favorite conference in college football and why? What is it?
Oh, man. I could go the fun route or I could go like the good route. The fun route would be fake football, which is Big 12.
Oh, my favorite.
Yeah, it's actually my favorite too because I love fun. And I love watching Baylor, Texas Tech, Oklahoma, put up 60 points, man. Make my Saturday fun because it's so against the grain with what we see on Sundays. And we watch so much NFL that I love seeing a track meet, man. I don't care that it's fake football. Give me it all freaking day. And when one of those teams is a contender, super fun.
Absolutely.
Super fun. That would be my answer. All right. Who is your favorite current player not on the Eagles?
Theo Riddick has won me.
Notre Dame.
He's the Detroit running back. He has won me multiple fantasy championships because I draft him in like round 15 every year. And if it's a PPR league, he's scoring 10 every week. And also because Theo Riddick is literally Darren Sproles. It's just not as fun to talk about Theo Riddick because he's not as short. Right? So it's not like a storyline. You know what I mean? But he is. His ability in the open field, his pass catching strength, his tenacity, his danger on special teams, all of it. Theo Riddick is Darren Sproles. They have very similar skill sets and they're both, you know, effective. It's just Theo Riddick hasn't seen as much volume in Detroit, number one, so he doesn't have the incredible volume stats that Sproles does. And number two, it's not as fun to talk about him because he's not 5 foot like 6 or whatever Sproles is. That's it.
I'm a Notre Dame fan at heart, so I grew up watching them. They were the only team you could really watch every time dependently, so I agree with that. Hit me with one, Ben.
All right. You are the general manager of the Indianapolis Colts. Cleveland calls you up right now and offers you 2 firsts and a 3rd for Andrew Luck. You taking it?
Wow. Considering the report that I just saw that Andrew Luck is probably not going to play this season, if you didn't hear that breaking news, by the way.
Yeah.
But it's all medical with him. Like, I can't, we got to put a caveat to that because there's different scenarios.
Right.
What if I was confident enough that he wasn't playing this year, but there was a 80% chance he would play next year? Is that fair?
Sure, go for it.
Yeah, then I wouldn't. Absolutely not. You do not trade franchise quarterbacks with the talent level of Andrew Luck. You just don't do it. The guy was so far ahead of the game when he came into the league with all the little things. He's the prototype that I would be looking for.
But you're getting Cleveland's first this year. Cleveland's first this year, if Luck isn't playing, is going to be top 3. So you're going to get a potentially franchise quarterback.
The quarterback hit rate for GMs in this era is 35%. Mm-hmm. You're taking a big risk because there is, on conversely, a 65%, if I know my math correctly, that that's going to bust. I would rather take the 20% risk that he's going to get injured again. You know what I mean? Right. Under that scenario.
So you're not one of these folks that trust Jacoby Brissett?
I like Jacoby, but I don't like him that much. I don't think he's a franchise quarterback. I think he can develop into a solid quarterback, but I don't see like the specialness there. You know what I mean?
All right.
Oh, here we go. You're going to roll this back on me one day, aren't you?
We'll see.
Daddy, where do babies come from?
Honey?
Mommy went to the store.
Oh, well, you see, there's a mommy and a daddy, right?
Right.
And see, when they call Geico, they could save a bunch of money on car insurance.
Oh, really? And that makes them happy?
Yes, that makes them very happy.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we could have this talk, Sunshine.
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
Has your Seattle-New England Super Bowl prediction changed?
A lot, yeah. Jeez. If I were to redo it right now, I still think Seattle gets into the playoffs, but there's a chance they make it as a wild card. I still think New England makes it to the playoffs, but there's a chance they have to do it as a wild card. And then both those teams have playoff experience, so they can get deep, but I don't see Seattle beating, for example, Philadelphia, you know, in the playoffs. It's really interesting to see because you could have a situation where your two most powerful teams in the NFC in the playoffs are two incredibly under playoff experienced teams as far as the Eagles and the Vikings. You could be led by Teddy Bridgewater and Carson Wentz, who have no playoff experience whatsoever. And those should be your two most powerful teams. And then behind them, you've got regular playoff contenders like Carolina, Atlanta, Seattle, right? And so that can get really interesting. So NFC is, to me, like a big tangled mess as far as who gets through there.
Going to be some fun playoffs, yeah.
I don't think anybody in the AFC is going to be the Chiefs from what we've seen. So I think Andy makes it to a Super Bowl in Kansas City for sure. Put Kansas City in there. And then NFC?
Well, the Steelers have their number. What if they meet in the playoffs? I mean, that's the only danger for me, along with New England, if they get their defense somewhat not garbage juice. Anyway, go ahead.
I got you. So, I'm comfortable with KC in the AFC right now. And then NFC, your guess is as good as mine. Eagles are the best guess as far as right now.
Right.
But, you know, if you get a team like Atlanta, Carolina, New Orleans, or Seattle who comes in hot with the playoff experience they have, they'll probably be the most dangerous team at that time.
Okay.
You got to give me your three just favorite sports writers. Doesn't matter what outlet, doesn't matter what they cover, which team, which sport, three favorite sports writers.
Okay. It would be Chris Brown of Smart Football.
Nice.
He's got some excellent books, by the way, The Essential Smart Football, and then the second one, I think it's a very similar title, fantastic books. I'm a big Pat Kerwin fan. Keep your eye off the ball.
Nice.
You might be talking about beat writers, but just as far as his work and what he does on Sirius Radio and whatnot, I absolutely loved him. When I read his book, it kind of changed the way I watched football. And then the third one, killing me with this. I'm actually going to give a local shout out for my third one because I love this guy's columns. He's actually part of the Locked On Network as well. And I just heard him this morning here in Tampa on 620 WDAE. Trevor Sikkema, dude, of Locked On NFL Draft. His cover three columns are absolutely amazing. He puts like a ton of work into them and brings excellent content. So if you're even somewhat fascinated by the NFL, even if you're not a Bucks fan, you should go check that out. So I'm going to put a little shout in there for a friend. So I'll take that
pick. I love it.
So there was this famous historical woman figure in Roman history. Some people called her Lady Copperbit because she was a bit promiscuous. Another Roman sent her a bag of copper coins, basically to go along with her, you know, saying that she was a prostitute, essentially, because she was promiscuous.
I'm so excited to see where this goes.
She had this person gang raped and beaten in public. So if there were an NFL play, no, I'm kidding. Who is your favorite historical figure?
Unbelievable. Okay, probably the great Prince Vladimir. He's a saint in the Orthodox Church, and he's responsible. I'm Russian by ethnic background, and he's responsible for the bringing of Orthodoxy to Russia. It's a pretty cool story because he sent out a bunch of emissaries from, you know, where he was chilling in Russia and was like, yo, go find me the correct religion. That was like the prerogative he gave them, and they all rolled back. And the legend goes that he immediately crossed Islam off the list because he wanted to drink and eat pork. And so that was unacceptable, which is pretty great. Good start. But then those who came back from the Greek area and from Constantinople, talking about the beauty of the Orthodox Church there, Hagia Sophia, said that, you know, this is this is so beautiful. It's a rated the angels were with us, so on and so forth. And so he's a saint in the Orthodox Church. I got to go with him. He's the man.
Have you heard, I know you know Martin Luther, right?
Yeah.
Have you heard of the Anabaptists in Munster, the Munster Rebellion?
No, I got nothing.
Dude, if you're even somewhat interested in like religion gone wrong and taken a completely wrong way with disastrous results, check out Hardcore History from Dan Carlin. He's got an excellent podcast. It's like 4.5 hours long. It's basically an audiobook on the Munster Rebellion. It's fantastic. I'm sure you'll love it. All right, hit me with your next question.
Mayo on sandwich, question mark?
Mayo on sandwich, light. Only light. Very, very light. I do not like mayonnaise most of the time. And when I do, I'm probably going to hit the combo with some mustard. I like mayo with mustard combined. Okay. I like ketchup with mustard combined. I do not like mayo by itself.
Ketchup with mustard combined, that's weird. But just everything else, respectable.
Back in school, man, we would do that, and we would just dip our fries in it. So it wasn't like I'm putting it on a sandwich or a hot dog or anything like that. It was just for dipping sauce, basically. Okay, Ben. You are Mr. 7-year streak without a bad day. Now, if you are not comfortable answering this question, we can edit it out. What happened 7 years ago?
No, it's a common question. The answer isn't nearly as exciting as you might want it to be.
Oh, dang it.
Yeah, no, sorry. So 7 years ago, I was like almost in high school or just barely starting high school or anything. When I went through grade school and everything, I was really, really blessed to be like a smart kid and like intelligent and like gifted programs and stuff.
Brag.
And my father always, you know, my father's a big like work ethic-y sort of guy. And so he was always trying to teach me the value of work ethic. And kind of at that point in my life was when I started to realize, oh, like just knowing things and not studying and doing a good job really doesn't mean anything. It's not valuable because I didn't, you know, put forth any effort. And so that was the beginning of my life really turning towards a place of value-based living and intentionality and trying to, you know, really be a good person through the quality of my actions and not just by my God-given skills. And so one of the things that I was able to do kind of to kick off that effort, which has continued to this day, obviously 7-year streak, is to say that, you know, the quality of my day will not be defined by how I feel, you know, or like what happens to me. Like if I wake up on the wrong side of the bed with a headache, it's a bad day. No, the quality of my day will be defined by my choices and by my actions and by the effort that I put in. And so, you know, from that day forward, I've tried to just be a person who lives with intention and lives according to his values. And, you know, because I've made that effort daily, I don't have bad days. So sure, there are days that I feel bad, you know, where I wake up and I'm like sick and it sucks. And, you know, the Eagles lose, like the 2004 Super Bowl was pretty rough, but you know, that doesn't qualify as a good day under my as a bad day under my standards anymore, because I've, you know, it's a different benchmark. So that's how that worked.
Very, very nice, dude. Building Thanks. That brand. I really like that. All right, so a little insight to the way Benjamin Solak's
tick, tick,
mind
tick,
works.
Yeah,
yeah. Ben, I think that's all we have for Game Time Decisions, if I'm not mistaken. Tomorrow we're going to be previewing Redskins Eagles, and we've got a bunch of nerdy stats for you guys. So you got to keep it locked on here on Locked On Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly. Ben, if you could caught, dang it. This edition of Locked On Eagles is brought to you by mybookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid.
What you doing?
Ran out of space on my phone, so I'm deleting some stuff. Bye, singing dog. Bye, goal.
I pronounce you.
Bye, wedding ceremony.
Stop. At Metro PCS, you get 2 free phones with twice as much memory.
Really?
Don't say bye to your memories. Switch to Metro PCS and get 2 free LG K20 Plus phones with 32 gigs when you switch 2 lines. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.